and welcome back. This is Rob Smith, a manager in Huron Consulting Group's Research Enterprise Solutions Practice, a group that focuses on serving clients engaged in research at academic medical centers, community hospitals, and health systems. I'm joined today by my colleague, Leah Guidry, a managing director in our practice who specializes in advising clients across the United States on research compliance-related engagement. Leah has over 25 years' experience in healthcare and has been with Huron since 2005. This is the second podcast with Leah focused on research compliance, and much of what we discuss today will build from the topics discussed in the first podcast. Welcome back, Leah.
Thank you, Rob. Glad to be here.
So picking up where we left off, could you describe for our listeners what a research compliance assessment really entails?
Sure. There are really four main aspects to a thorough and complete risk assessment, with some subparts to two of those four. So the four are one, identification of the issues, two, identification of the impact of each issue, three is determining the vulnerability, and four is the degree and extent of the internal controls for that risk. Let me walk back through those four, and I'll give you the subparts for two of those four. First is identify the issues. That's literally just listing the issues out. Two is identification of the impact of those issues, and that entails assessing the risk type. Is it reputational, financial, legal? Some will be multiple, only one, two, or all three of those. The third is determining the vulnerability for that risk, and that involves assessing the probability that the risk may occur, and then assessing how detectable that risk is if it were to occur. And then lastly, the fourth element is assessing the degree and extent of the internal controls in place for dealing with that risk and finding that risk if it were to occur.
So once those issues have been collected, identified, and evaluated, and the assessment is complete, how do clients use that information?
So once you go through the four, where you end up is with a prioritized list of risks. You've gone through the process to determine what are your top priorities, what are your mid-level priorities, and what are low priorities. It's interesting that where you end up on the priority list is often not where you started and thought that you might end up. And so that's why it's important to go through the steps in a very methodical way. But once you come up with the list, the next step is to develop a compliance work plan. And the work plan is developed to address the risks one by one by evaluating the resources that the organization actually has to bring to evaluating and assessing and looking at each one of these risks. Some of these will simply be further assessment of the risk itself, more than what you were able to do as part of the risk assessment process, which is really just a high-level overview, but really digging in and looking, maybe what you'll want to do is look at developing the strength of or assessing the strength of the internal control that you determine that you have them or you think there may be some gaps. And that's really the issue that needs to be looked at for that particular risk. Others, you'll need to do complete audits or process audit, financial audit, any number of things to look at those risks. And understanding what resources you have to bring to that collection of risks is really very important. Some of that's going to be internal, assessing the time frame with which your team actually has to devote to looking at these issues. Some of it will be financial to determine, can you bring in outside resources if you don't have the resources in-house? Either you don't have the subject matter expertise or your team doesn't have the bandwidth. It enables you to have a very thoughtful review to determine what resources you have to bring to bear to look at for the compliance work plan for the year or 2 years, depending upon your time frame, because that allows you to then go to your leadership or your board to request additional resources if those are needed, or the assessment that some of these issues will be put onto later years' work plan, but that's done with everyone's involvement and decision-making so that everybody understands what the organization is looking at in its compliance work plan.
Are there any new or emerging trends that you're seeing in research compliance specifically that industry professionals should be aware of?
Yes, absolutely. I think one of the greatest is one that we talked about in our last podcast, which is really about the research compliance structure itself and getting that organized into a single entity, or at least if you're going to use a matrixed approach, which is fine, making sure that everybody knows what everybody else is doing. And sometimes the best way to organize around a matrixed research compliance approach is to have a research compliance committee that involves all of those personnel from the various different silos to make sure that there's coordination. But in thinking about specific content or subject matter issues, there are some clear themes that we see. One is that clinical research billing continues to be a significant issue in the research community, very, very challenging to deal with and address. The new uniform guidance is getting a number of persons and personnel and universities' attention just because of the changes that it involves in the organization and the decision-making that needs to be made as to how you each organization wants to deal with those changes. One of the others, though, is that transparency is really gaining some significant strength, particularly with the Sunshine Act implementation that's occurring now. The availability of data on the web and other social media is really getting a lot of attention. But what's interesting from a research compliance standpoint is that converse to transparency, privacy is also really very important. And the intent and expectations with respect to privacy are receiving heightened attention from the government and a lot of public scrutiny. So figuring out how each organization will address these polar opposite issues, really, of transparency and privacy, is really something that is currently challenging the profession. And I think having good, clear lines of communication and a well-developed program allow for more efficient responses and management of these issues as they arise.
Great. Well, Leah, I'd like to thank you again for your time. For those listening, this is the second of two brief discussions with Leah on research compliance.